You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Dolphins, Jags coming up tonight. Game four, Lakers at the Nuggets. Two numbers I'm going to keep an eye on tonight. The rebounding totals for both of these teams. The Lakers can't get dominated on the boards like they have. And also the number of free throws that LeBron's going to shoot. He's shot a total of 10 free throws during the first three games. Heat beat the Celtics last night. They go up 3-1. Tyler Hero was exactly that. He puts up 37, putting himself on the short list of most impressive performances by a rookie in the postseason. Now, number one on the list is, of course, Magic Johnson. What he did back in 1980 against the Philadelphia 76ers, he was playing all five positions. That stands alone. Nobody comes close to that because it was game seven and Magic and on the road, and Magic dominated in that game with 42 points. But Tyler Hero last night, that's a big-time performance. I do think the bubble has helped these younger players. I think it's probably hurt the older players who have a lot of other things to worry about, probably families back home. Tyler Hero's 20 years of age, and he played like he was 20 years of age without a care in the world, and that's a big-time win, beating the Celtics. You had a couple of situations there where you were waiting for the Celtics to come back. They made it close late, but Jason Tatum can not go scoreless in the first half. Great in the second half, can't go scoreless in the first half, and not you don't survive when you do that normally. But Tyler Hero is 37 for the Heat, second most all-time in the playoffs by a player aged 20 or younger, behind only Magic's 42, game six of the 1980 finals. I had game seven. Also tied the Heat rookie record for points in a game, regular season or post. Sherman Douglas in 1990, also against Boston. Ouch. And, of course, up 3-1, the team up 3-1 usually wins the series 95% of the time. That number is skewed, though, in the bubble, because we've seen a couple of times where teams coming back from a 3-1 deficit there. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. It's a Pauly birthday special today. In honor of Paul's birthday, you can buy any two regular price tees for $49 at danpatrick.com. A lot of t-shirts there. We just rolled out a Slam Diego t-shirt. Pauly's got it on the back of his shirt there. Slam Diego for the San Diego Padres. That's sharp. That looks good. You can get in touch with the program. You can dial us up. You can email. You can tweet. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. And those listening around the country, of course, on that Fox Sports Radio lineup. There was a story yesterday about Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor, we found out late in the window of when you're getting ready to play the Kansas City Chiefs. So late that morning or right before kickoff, we're finding out that Tyrod Taylor has been scratched, that something happened, and it was a reaction to medicine is what we were told. We didn't know anything else about that. And then Adam Schefter yesterday, late morning, said, hey, this had to do with a punctured lung. They were giving him some kind of painkiller there for ribs, and they punctured his lung. And then Justin Herbert was pressed into service. Now, the story didn't come out. They kept it, under wraps there for a little while, almost a day. And then it came out when Schefter reported it. And now you got Tyrod Taylor, who's not going to be able to play for a little while because of this punctured lung, and Justin Herbert is going to get the start. I don't know what's going to happen here with Tyrod Taylor. I don't know if he's going to get a chance to win his job back, but if he loses his job due to a punctured lung because of the doctor for the Chargers, I'm going to guess you probably have a lawsuit there. Here's Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, on the team doctor.
These guys, since I've been here, now our medical staff has been very, really trustworthy. DJ just had his surgery with our team doctor. There's a trust there, but how they respond to this, I don't know. That's going to be up to the locker room how they respond to this. But as of right now, I like the progress we've made with our players and our medical staff.
He also had this to say, that he's not upset with the team doctor.
I'm not angry at all. It happens, like I said, I can't go into details about it, but it was a complication with the shot, and no one's perfect. I don't think anyone on this Zoom is perfect, so it happens, but I know the doctors, I know he's a good man, and it's just unfortunate.
What if this was a playoff game? But it's the Chargers, so the likelihood of that happening, maybe not as strong. But let's say it was a playoff game, and right before, you know, an hour before the game, you're getting numbed up so you can go out there and play. And then you puncture your quarterback's lung. That doesn't happen very often. Yes, Todd.
If I was a doctor, I'd feel so bad at that point, I'd just bolt.
See what you did there.
Oh, puncture lung humor too soon.
Yeah.
Is it too?
Yeah, yeah, it was. Thank you, Todd.
He's all right, though. It's not like life-threatening.
I know, but he lost his job.
He'll get it back.
Hopefully they don't bring the doctor up on any Chargers.
There you go.
Any Chargers. He may get brought up on Chargers. It's possible.
Anybody else want to throw in?
Send this one out.
Okay, that's good.
Paul, just a lung for the ride. Hey, come on now. What? I got a punctured lung for crying out loud. Show some sensitivity.
Lung for the ride.
I think that's a walk-off.
You just want me to leave.
Yes, I do. Yes, yes.
Do I really have to leave?
No, you can stay.
I'd like to participate.
No, you can stay. All right. You can stay. All right. McLovin, what is the poll question? Since, you know, we have overreaction Monday with the NFL. This is overreaction Thursday with the NBA with Tyler Hero.
It looks like our audience did not overreact. If you could redraft the last NBA draft, who would you take? Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, or Tyler Hero? 64% Ja, 30% Zion, and 5% Tyler Hero.
Yeah, Tyler plays, he's an interesting player, but, you know, the other players know that they're the star of their team. Ja Morant knows he's the star, and Zion knows he's the star. Tyler Hero is not the star of that team. And they have a variety of players who play that role almost on a nightly basis there. Until Tyler gets his own team, we're probably not going to see what he's capable of doing on a consistent basis, because you go into a game, it's not like this next game where Tyler Hero is going to be featured. I think those things just happen, and I hate the word, but it happens organically. In the flow of a game, somebody gets hot, you take advantage of a matchup there, somebody could get in foul trouble. Tyler Hero could hit a couple of big shots there. That confidence, and he's all about confidence. And then your teammates sense that, and they start to feed you. And Tyler Hero had one of those great nights. He'll have one of those. He had one of those nights he'll look back on and say, that was one of the greatest performances a rookie's ever had in the postseason. And he would be correct. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter at DP Show. Kevin Harlan, the great voice, NFL and NBA. He'll join us on loan from CBS, also TNT. And we'll have the Fritzy contest with Kevin Harlan to see who sounds more like Kevin Harlan. And Fritzy was great yesterday and really lame in the first hour of the show.
He's a good sport, by the way, that he's willing to participate.
Well, thank you.
It's very cool.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Rays have won the American League East. You know, you look at that, you listen to that, you hear that, read it, and you go, man, the Yankees were a prohibitive favorite to go to the World Series this year. So not just win the American League East. And I remember when we had Tom Verducci on. And Verducci said, when I said, who do you like? And he said, I like a team that's got pitching depth. I like Tampa because they have about 15 pitchers. And at the time I went, well, you're not going to need 15 pitchers. And then I realized, yes, you are. And Tampa Bay ended up winning the American League East. And I was watching, it was a big night for Tampa. I was watching the Lightning, the Ning, against the Stars last night. Wanted to hear Doc Emrick with the call with Eddie Olczyk, and they ended up winning that game last night as well. So we got our poll question. You got the headlines here. Kevin Harlan will join us coming up. Were there any other topics that you were thinking about for the poll question, McLovin?
It's sort of a question. When do the Dolphins go to Tua, or should the Dolphins go to Tua? And is it possible tonight, like if Ryan Fitzpatrick struggles?
I wonder how you work him in. And I don't know if you wait until you're not playoff eligible, but at some point, I think you have to kind of ease him in a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a little bit tonight where Tua gets a chance to just go in. I want him to just have a little taste of a standalone game Thursday night. It's against Miami or against Jacksonville, and you can go out there and maybe just get that feel of what it's like. Because I don't know if you want to just say, just like the Chargers did with Justin Herbert, hey, you're going to play. Now, he played well. He played better than people thought. That's for sure. Joe Burrow knows he's going to go out there and start. Jordan Love is not going to play anytime soon with Green Bay. But Tua, and what are the odds that you have three quarterbacks taken in the first round who turn out to be really good? The odds are really long, but now you had Eli, you had Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Those are probably, at least two are Hall of Famers. Phillip Rivers, probably borderline Hall of Famer. But it's rare when you have three quarterbacks, I'm not even including Jordan Love right now, three quarterbacks who turn out to be great in their careers or very good in their careers. Joe Burrow has all the makings. Justin Herbert gave us at least a glimpse, and Tua, we've yet to see. Yeah, Paulie.
I could tell you exactly when Tua is going to get his first start. You could book this one, Dan. In the next few weeks, they have the Seattle Seahawks. They have the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, you're not going to start there.
Yeah, they got the Chargers. They got the Cardinals. They got the Rams. Week 10, Miami Dolphins face the Jets. Then they have a bye week. Then they face the Jets. That's a perfect time. You put Tua in week 10 against the Jets. He gets a bye week. And then he comes right back against the Jets.
What a scheduling fluke there.
And then you get the Bengals. You got a month with basically an easy schedule.
But you're going to wait that long to play him.
Sure.
You have Peter King said the Dolphins were going to be a playoff team. So are you going to wait until they're... Like, if you're a playoff team and you get to that point, week 10, then you're not going to play Tua.
Then you play both your options. Fitzpatrick gives you a chance for the playoffs once you're not playoff eligible, which should be around week 10. Mm. You put it in.
Yes, McLovin.
Seahawks have been awfully friendly to opposing quarterbacks. They can't. They have no defense.
Well, is
line.
That game in Seattle or
it's
is
in I think
in Miami?
I think it's in Miami.
Okay.
And then the Niners are people are talking about them as like sort of an also ran already.
But is that in San Francisco in Miami? Mm-hmm. See, it's where he's going to face.
That's in San Francisco, but that's a team that might be like half a team. Both of those are opportunities.
Yeah. See,
does that still matter without fans? Where you're playing the game?
Not as much, but you're still going on. I'm taking you out of the comfort zone, and you're going cross-country. So I don't know if there's a further distance you can go than if you're going Miami to Seattle or Miami to San Francisco and then getting ready and during a pandemic and trying to be able to play with all the protocols. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Tua got a chance to play a little bit tonight. Maybe I'm just hoping because if he doesn't play tonight, I don't have that much interest in this game. I mean, I'll be watching the Lakers and the Nuggets first and then sneaking a peek. But if you said 2 is playing, then I'm watching that game. Yeah, McLevin.
You know how we react. If the Jags go 2-1, will it be Minshew mania again?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I like him. I just don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. And I think that's a big decision. If he plays well and you're not winning, but he still has good numbers there, you know, is it you're going in for Trevor Lawrence no matter what? No matter what Gardner Minshew does this year, if you get the opportunity to take Trevor Lawrence or if you get the opportunity for Justin Fields out of Ohio State, are you taking one of those quarterbacks? Yes, McLean.
But are we just being shortest because, you know, because Gardner Minshew just still doesn't look like a quarterback. You know how we took forever with Russell. Not you, but other people have taken.
But I didn't view him as short. When we met him, is he 6'1"? Yeah. He is solid, man. That's what surprised me. When we met him in Miami, I went, man, that guy is big. Like he's thick. But he didn't strike me as short. He didn't strike me as tall. Like Joe Burrow was taller than I thought it. Like, he was a legit 6'4". Yeah, Paul.
It's very funny how we've had all these quarterbacks in studio, and we always look at each other when they leave, like, that's a big dude, or that's a, like, Marcus Mariota came in, we're like, he's a little thin.
Yeah, very slight.
And then Jameis Winston came in, you're like, that's a big, strong guy.
I think when Derrick Henry came into the studio, and I went, wow, I can't imagine trying to tackle that. Who else came in? Manziel came in, and I was like, whew. Good luck to you, man. You're small.
And he came in the day after his Heisman celebration, yeah. So it was a, you know.
Yeah, see.
Did you guys mention Cam? When he came in, I remember thinking like, dang, that's a big dude. We had him at the Super Bowl.
Arizona?
I think so.
In studio in Arizona, but we also had him for a Celebrity Beach Bowl. He was a coach. So we met him twice.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
That's a big dude.
Yeah, he's... That's where you go, you know, you see these quarterbacks being tossed around, and then you see, like, Roethlisberger's a big guy. Cam's a big guy. Marino, big guy. Elway, big guy. And then you see how these defensive players kind of treat them like ragdolls. And then you see Joe Montana, and you go, how did he survive? Yes, McLovin.
Sorry, did you say Lamar Jackson, how he looked thin when he came in?
Yeah, you're
Heisman?
Right. Yeah, very thin. Very
thin. But it's still kind of strong, though, in a weird way.
Mm, I didn't get that. Kyler Murray, I got that.
It'd be great if a quarterback came in sometime and had a big gut, just like hanging over his shirt, like, oh, he's not in shape at all.
But Gardner Minshew strikes me as a character on King of the Hill, like that he would have a beer gut. Like, he'd just come in and he'd just sit down, and his shirt wouldn't cover his belly. But he is fun and got a lot of confidence out there. So that's the game coming up tonight with the NFL. Lakers, of course, and the Nuggets. We'll come back. Phone calls are welcome, by the way, 877-3DP-SHOW. And we'll talk to Kevin Harlan from the NFL on CBS. The big competition, Fritzy versus Kevin. Can you tell the difference? Are you ready for this? Because if you're not, I don't want to...
No, I'm all in. I'm ready.
I'll just have a standard interview with
Kevin. In spite of the fact that you just said that I'm already off my my game.
No, you said you were because you had time to prepare and you're not good.
I think I do better when it's spontaneous, but I am ready for this. No excuses. If I come across terrible or it's totally easy to decide who's who, then so be it. But I'm ready.
But I will say the lung line was pretty funny.
A lung for the ride.
Yeah, lung for the ride. Yeah. I mean, it's not funny to Tyrod Taylor and his
family. It's not funny. I wouldn't want anyone talking about my punctured lung like that. You can't do a play on words for, like, medical serious injuries. That's dangerous. You could have an infection.
But why did you do it then?
I don't know. I just got caught up in the pun world, and I just showed a lack of concern.
Yes, see.
Someone just submitted that after the doctor made such a bad mistake, he was feeling powder blue.
Mm. Yeah.
It's pretty good. Mm. It's okay.
Yeah.
Serviceable.
It's okay.
Todd's is better.
Yeah, Todd's is good.
Just a long further on.
Sometimes when I have a joke I'm not sure about, I always say, you know, someone just sent this one in. And then I pin it on a listener. And if it gets a good line, I'm like, all right, I don't get the credit.
Come on, Frank and Toledo, you're better than that.
I've done that before.
Yeah. You won't get the credit, but you don't want the blame.
I don't want that heat.
Well, so you still get the blame because you're the one that brought it up.
Right.
Like, I thought enough to bring it up.
No.
You have better taste than that.
All right. We'll take a break. The great voice of the NFL and the NBA, Kevin Harlan, will join us. NFL on CBS and TNT. 19 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Going to save you money. How would you like to save $400 a year on your cellular service? Are you with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile? Because the average person is saving $400 a year just by switching to Pure Talk USA. The cool part is you're not sacrificing anything. Coverage, speed, you get that 50% off your wireless bill because Pure Talk is on the exact same towers and networks as one of those carriers, covering 99% of Americans. So what are you waiting for? Pure Talk's customer service based right here in the good old U.S. of A. Keep your phone, keep your number. And if you do want a new iPhone or Android, that's available as well. And listen to this. Right now, you get unlimited talk, text, 2 gigs of data, all for $20 a month. You grab your mobile phone and you dial #250 and say Dan Patrick. And when you do that, you save 50% off your first month. Dial #250, keyword Dan Patrick. Pure Talk USA, simply smarter wireless. You will have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text from Pure Talk USA. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way, the all-new GT four-door coupe, because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews this week or any week from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com, where you can watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG. Driving performance. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. He's Kevin Harlan, play-by-play voice for NBA on TNT, NFL on CBS, and Monday Night Football in Westwood One. He'll be in the booth this Sunday. Jets and the Colts Last Sunday, he had Steelers-Titans, and or no, that's week four. Is that right, Todd? He did Baltimore and Houston.
Baltimore-Houston was week two.
Oh, okay. So we're already getting ahead to week four. I only needed this week. I didn't need week four.
I'd just like to give you more information than you need and confuse you.
Let's bring in Kevin Harlan. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Dan. How are you? Good morning.
Oh, you know, we're just trying to deal with a non-professional staff here. We do it as well as anybody here.
Well, I'm a long-time listener, so I know all the personalities and love your show, so it's fun to be on.
How often do you get recognized by your voice?
More than when people see me. Like if I'm in a line and ordering food, or if I'm talking to my kids as we're walking, or my wife or whatever, and they may hear it and they'll say, hey, I know that voice, you're and they don't know but they know it. So that's kind of fun, you know. Not really. It's something that kind of follows us all in the business, I'm sure, just like you. You talk and people know your voice instantly. But they see you as well, and they don't see us as much because it's on radio on Monday night, and then we're just on for such a short time when we make our opens on TNT and CBS, so it's not as common. But voice, yes, sometimes people will know.
I had a woman, an operator, and I was calling for a phone number, and the woman paused, the operator paused. And she said, say something again. And I said, I said, I need the number. And then she goes, I go to bed with you. And I go, what? And she said, my boyfriend, you're on TV. My boyfriend has, wait, what show are you on? I said, SportsCenter. She goes, my boyfriend has, you work at night. And I go, yes. And then we got done. And then she hung up. I didn't even get the phone number from her when I was asking her for it. So I get it sometimes, but you're right. You know, I've been on TV, or at least my face has, for a long time. But people will hear the voice sometimes and go, oh, it's Mr. SportsCenter. They may not know my name. I'm just like, oh, you're Mr. SportsCenter there.
Well, it's instantly recognizable. I got to ask you a question, though, because I thought this for a long time, and I thought maybe we'd cross paths and I'd ask you in person. I mentioned this to Todd when we're texting back and forth, but did you listen a lot to Larry King and his interview style by chance when you were a younger broadcaster and getting your place in the business? I'm not trying to, you know, deter the conversation here, but your questions and your pacing and all that. The best I had ever heard in news was Larry King. I thought his interviewing style was great. And then I started listening to you religiously for I don't know how many years you've been doing the radio show. And I thought this is even better than King, because your personality is a little bit more warm. And Larry, of course, was more directed on news topics and serious matters. And I see a parallel there, but I'm just curious to see if you had listened a lot to him when you were growing up and becoming the broadcaster that you are.
I would listen to Larry. He was doing overnights with his talk show, and I would
a mutual.
And I was doing morning drive radio on a rock and roll station, and I would be coming in around 4:30, and then I would hear Larry usually about for 40 minutes or so. And what I always remembered was, like, the curiosity that you have. Anybody who interviews, be a good listener, but be curious and care about what somebody's answers are. That's really the most important things that I teach. I teach my broadcasting students, and Larry has been at the forefront of that for, you know, many, many, many decades. And there are a lot of people who are really good at it. But when people go, boy, you ask great questions, and I always say it's not a great question unless it solicits a great answer. That's what makes, you know, for a great interview. And I always tell broadcasters, ask a question that's open-ended, get somebody talking back to you, because that's what people are tuning in to hear, not how great your question is. But thank you for that compliment. Who did you look up to when you wanted to be a play-by-play voice?
The first voice I remember when I was about 8, 9 years old was Facenda's on NFL Films. And then I, you know, really listened to race. I grew up in Green Bay, My dad was with the Packers for almost four decades, and so living there, football was intense.
Ray Scott,
yes, and some other voices. Like, I'd go to bed at night and listen on WCFL in Chicago, Jim Durham doing the Bulls, and Joe Tate on 3WE do the Cavs. The two voices that I probably admire the most, aside from Facenda Scott and Summerall. Summerall's voice to me was great. And Don Criqui was Chuck Thompson out of Baltimore and Jim Simpson at later ESPN, but initially at NBC. Yeah. And those were I would tape them on my cassette recorder when I was, you know, like just a kid and fall asleep with that playing underneath my pillow at night. And would listen to their cadence and their calls. And then as I was, you know, just getting in the business when I was like 13, 14, I tried to mimic them. But I would like use the array of voices. Like I'd spend 10 minutes trying to sound like Jim Simpson and 10 minutes trying to sound like Chuck Thompson or Jim Durham or Pat Summerall. And I always tell kids that ask me about voice and presentation and delivery, I say, you know, you need a roadmap. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. You need a roadmap. And what those voices and trying to sound like as you listen to all the different things, the tonality and how they move through a sentence and a call, is you kind of condition the muscles in your voice to kind of exude that. Then you get off on your own road and you sound like you're going to sound. But those are the voices I hear in my head. I hear Chuck Thompson, Simpson, Summerall, and Facenda. Those are the voices I listen to. When I leave my hotel room for CBS every morning, going out to the stadium for our Sunday broadcast, I'll play the John Facenda, "The Autumn Wind Is a Raider," because I just feel like, first of all, I'm lucky enough to be in the NFL. I'm living a dream every time I step in an NFL broadcast booth, and I think about the appreciation I have for guys like him that probably sent many broadcasters into the business, listening to his delivery and voice and cadence and just what he meant really to kind of igniting the NFL and the majesty of it and everything else. So it's kind of like a little habit I get into. And it's something I've kind of stuck with every year I've been at CBS and before that at Fox.
I remember when the Raiders played the Redskins, and this was Joe Theismann, and Jack Squirek was the linebacker for the Raiders who had an interception. And John Facenda had that line, "The silver and black clad masters of intimidation nearly took Joe Theismann's head off." And then you had that 1812 overture, and I went, "Oh, you got me." "The silver and black clad masters of intimidation nearly took Joe Theismann's head off." God, I love that.
I've got a very short Facenda story. When I was in college, I was producing the Kansas City Chiefs radio network pregame, halftime, postgame shows all across the Midwest, and we had this 3-hour pregame show. And I wrote Facenda at NFL Films. I was about 19 years old. And I wrote Facenda at NFL Films, and I asked him, "Would you mind reading this intro to our broadcast and the outro? Would you mind doing just a couple of, like 25 seconds long each? I don't know what you charge, but it would mean a lot to us." And about a week later, I get this phone call in my fraternity house at the University of Kansas. And, "Kevin, this is John Facenda calling." And I go, "Oh, my God." And he says, "Would you mind if I rearrange this one sentence?" And I said, "You do whatever you want to do. I'm just so thankful you'll do it." So I get the reel-to-reel tape about a week after that. And I'm listening to it, but they have all of his, you know, outtakes and all. It's just raw tape. And finally, he gets it right, the one that he liked, the version that he recorded. And at the end of it, you know, there was this pause. And I don't know if Steve Sable was on the other side of the glass, but he said after this long pause, "Now that's a horse that I can ride." And I just love that story. And I still have the tape of him saying that raw tape. So
that's great.
Facenda to me was the voice of the NFL.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. You know, with Joe just going in, I start thinking about that, and I texted Joe last week after that announcement, and of course, you know, he just looks up to his dad and thinks his dad hung the moon, and rightly so. That was a wonderful relationship between father and son, and the fact that the son has almost become more popular than the father. And as you know, Jack Buck in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, 90s was like the voice of sports in this country, with so many sports covered, football, baseball, everything else. So, but that Pete Rozelle Award is one coveted by every broadcaster. If Facenda is not in, I would be shocked. I know the Sables are in, Ed and Steve.
Yeah, that took a while, though, for them to get in, which is a shame. But, I mean, Paulie, would you check and see? I don't think John Facenda is in the Hall of Fame, but, I mean, his contributions with those – you know, those highlights, I mean, that he should be in there in the Hall of Fame. We're talking to Kevin Harlan, play-by-play voice for NBA on TNT, NFL on CBS. He's got the Jets and the Colts this Sunday. Yeah, let me see you make that sound like an interesting game. Good luck with that, Kevin. No crowd noise. You're going to have to really ratchet it up there a little bit.
I know. But those are the great challenges. You've done play-by-play. You know what that's like. Sometimes you get a... You know, we had a great game going in last week, and it really wasn't much of a game, Baltimore at Houston. We think, you know, two great young quarterbacks, and only Lamar Jackson really was the one that made a dent. And then this week we got this. Next week, Tennessee-Pittsburgh, which might be pretty good, at least on paper. So you never know what you're going to get. Actually, the Raider-New Orleans game we did in Vegas a couple nights ago, that turned out to be a terrific game with the Raiders looking really good. So you never know what you're going to get. You just always go in, as you know, as prepared as possible and do the best job you can.
All right, we have a contest here, and it's called the Kevin Harlan game. So it's good that we have you on with us for the Kevin Harlan game. So like if Joe Buck was on, it would be really odd to do the Kevin Harlan game.
Joe wouldn't do it.
Okay, so you and Todd are going to have some calls, some play-by-play calls, and then the audience has to figure out, is it Kevin Harlan making this call or Todd Fritz? Now, we don't know who's going to go first, so contestant number one, you may approach the microphone with your play-by-play call.
Jason Tatum from the corner, he buries the three and the Celtics take a double-digit lead. Eric Spoelstra will gather the troops here and try to stop the bleeding. We step away briefly. This is the NBA on TNT.
All right. Contestant number two.
All right. Tatum from the corner. He buries the three, and the Celtics take a double-digit lead. Spoelstra will gather the troops here and try to stop the bleeding as we step away. This is the NBA on TNT.
Okay. I can't tell the difference right now. Round two.
The false start makes it 3rd and 8 now for the Seahawks, just inside their own 15. Wilson the snap, drops back to throw, complete to DK Metcalf across the 30 and steps out of bounds at the 34. It's a first down for the Seahawks.
Okay, contestant number two.
The false start makes it a 3rd and 8 for Seattle, just inside their own 15. Wilson back to pass, complete to DK Metcalf across the 30, out of bounds at the 34. That's a first down for the Seahawks.
Okay, I'm going to need one more because I can't really determine who is Kevin Harlan. Final round here to decide the Kevin Harlan game.
If you're just joining us, Patrick Mahomes is at it once again. The Chiefs trailed by 20 at one point. Now they're down just 4 with under a minute to go. The single setback, Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls back. He's got Travis Kelce in the back corner. Both feet in. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Wow, that was a great call, Kev. I mean, I'm not sure who made that call. Here's the final call.
If you're just joining us, Mahomes is at it again. Chiefs trail by 20. Now they're down just 4 with under a minute to go. The single back is Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls right. He's got Kelce in the back corner. Both feet in. Touchdown. The Chiefs have scored.
I don't know. It felt like the voice that did the first version of that touchdown pass. Who was Todd? Can you tell me who was... you and who was Kevin there?
Okay, on the first one, which was the Celtics with Jason Tatum, I went...
No, Todd, I know.
Oh, you're being a wise guy. Oh, you just totally set me up.
That's how we're aware of who it really was.
I would hope that would be very clear who Kevin Harlan is and who Fritzy from the Dan Patrick Show is. I was so proud of my percentage. I thought for a second that you needed me to clarify.
Kevin, if you ever miss a game and you need somebody to fill in for you and be you, then Todd Fritz is your guy.
I'll definitely make that call, and I'll tell the people at CBS he's ready to go, willing and ready to go.
So you sure we didn't have to let you know who was Kevin?
No.
I was able to.
I mean, I could have let the mystery linger forever, but I just thought I got to be fair to the audience and let them know. I just do. Kevin, you're a great sport. Safe travels. Have fun with the Jets and the Colts this Sunday at 4 Eastern on CBS.
My privilege, Dan. Thank you, and thanks to your great crew. As I began by saying, I listen all the time and love the show and love all the guys that are a part of it, and it was really fun to be on.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. That's Kevin Harlan. Yeah, at one point, I wasn't able to tell the difference between the. I love that Todd actually had to explain. Which,
okay, the first one, I went first. There was no. Yes.
So that was me with the first call.
I got it. I got
the second one. He went first, and then I went first.
No, I got it. And that was great. Thanks.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
Although I will say that call was better than Kevin's call.
I think it was.
It was. The last one, you were better than Kevin.
I was more excited. I said, touchdown, Kansas City. And he goes, and Kansas City's in for the score. Like, we lost him there for a second.
Yeah. Okay. Phone calls are coming up. Thanks again to Kevin Harlan.
Very good sport.
Yeah, good sport. And we always like a guest who compliments the host, too, and says nice things. That always helps as well. So we'll take a break. Back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Once again, in honor of Paulie's birthday, you can buy any two regular price t-shirts at danpatrick.com for $49. And we have the newest t-shirt, Slam Diego, in honor of the San Diego Padres there. So happy birthday, Paulie. Everybody in America wants to weigh in and wish you a happy birthday.
Very thoughtful. Scene wanted to do something that included 34 for Walter Payton. It was like, buy three shirts, get the fourth one for the exact same price as the first three. Mm.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah.
Jeff in Detroit would like to wish you a happy birthday. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, Dan? Good what up, though, to my friend Paulie sitting up front. A happy birthday from Chat Row. We know you love the attention, Paulie. We know you just absolutely are just soaking all of this up. And along with that, I would like to say, though, in all honesty, he deserves a shirt because his snarkiness and the way that he can assault somebody with just three words is unrivaled. I've never met anybody like that. Maybe have like a snark assassin shirt or a snark sniper. And then have some of his famous sayings like he must have thought he was going on radio instead of TV or something like he's a legend in his own time, a legend in his own mind. I mean, probably has a million of them. So,
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. There you go. Birthday greeting wishes from Jeff in Detroit. Always great to hear from him. I'm looking at the Pete Rozelle Awards, the winners. And these are contributions to the game, and most of these are broadcasters here. Joe Buck, Dick Ebersol, the longtime genius at NBC Sports. Andrea Kramer is in. This is Pro Football Hall of Fame. David Hill, the genius behind Fox when they acquired the NFL. James Brown of CBS is in there. Tom Jackson, Bob Trumpy, Al Michaels, Len Dawson, Jim Nance, Chris Berman, Irv Cross. These are all worthy people. How is John Facenda not in the Hall of Fame? Contributions to the sport? You've got a lot of brilliant broadcasters in here. Pat Summerall, Frank Gifford, Jack Buck, Charlie Jones, Dick Enberg, Ray Scott, John Madden, Don Crickey, Myron Cope, the longtime Steeler broadcaster, Leslie Visser is in there, Don Meredith, Dan Dierdorf. I am shocked. Yeah, McLovin.
So I don't think these people get a bust, by the way.
But like, you're still in the Hall of Fame.
But like the Sables actually got into the, like got as were regular nominees.
And they should have been.
Yeah, but it took them a long time, as you said. So if it took them a long time, that's why I'm not surprised Facenda.
Yeah, but they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
NFL Films with the Sables and John Facenda. If you're bringing in the Sables and they should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, then John Facenda, there is no greater singular voice attached to the NFL, I don't think, than John Facenda. I mean, and unless I'm missing something here, yes.
Could you argue like a John Madden or...
Well, I mean, Madden,
Summerall,
yeah, there's a lot of great voices, but I'm just talking about when you hear that voice, you know exactly what sport you're talking about. And he was a newsman in Philadelphia. He wasn't even a sportscaster. He was a longtime newsman. Yeah, McLevin.
Okay, he's from right where I'm from. And the legend is that, and I think he said it, cigar smoke and scotch helped create that gravelly voice through the years. You know what I mean? Is that how those newscasters get that voice?
I don't know. But people ask me, like, what did you do to get your voice? And they say, I didn't do anything. And, you know, it's not, I don't smoke cigarettes, smoke occasional cigar. But, you know, there are certain people who got a certain voice or a more distinctive voice because of that. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think age has something to do with it? Because Bob Costas did an interview once, and he says he can't listen to himself at age 21 because he hadn't grown up yet. He didn't have bass in his voice, a natural bass. Do you remember what your voice was like at 20 compared to 40?
Velvet.
Velvet wire to wire?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. When my first words, you know, when I was a toddler, when I'd say mommy and daddy, it sounded like that. Hey, mom. Yeah, I could barely get the word out, but it sounded velvety. And I'd say, what am I getting for Christmas? And I'd say it like that when I was like 3. Yeah, see.
You'd say things like, I have to go potty.
Yeah.
But it sounded like.
No, I said, I have to go to the bathroom. I didn't go potty.
No, you didn't go potty.
No, no. I had to go bathroom there. Yes, McLovin.
Do you ever see a tape of your first Sports Center? Do you know what you sounded and looked like?
Oh,
back
yeah.
Then?
Yeah. Hot. Once I got to Sports Center, I was okay with how I looked. Prior to that, not so much.
Which year would be the one you would want us to dig up pictures? Like, is there a certain
none
age?
Of them. Oh, at Sports Center?
Well, just age and life.
I would say early 90s. I think I was kind of rounding into shape. I think the word dreamy was tossed around a little bit.
What about mid-80s hair parted down the middle?
No, that wasn't mid-80s.
Was 70s?
That was 70s. But, you know, that's the way we wore our hair back then. But yeah, I would say early 90s, I started to kind of come into my own there. I'm shocked that John Facenda didn't get a Pete Rozelle Award. I got a new campaign, a new crusade. You know, I remember saying that Steve Sable, before he passed away, get him in the Hall of Fame. His dad won the Rozelle Award, you know, back in the 80s, I think. But to get into the Hall of Fame with you don't have to have a bust of John Facenda, but he should have won this award, I'm guessing. What do people think of the Kevin Harlan contest?
A former NFL quarterback was very confused about who was who. I will tell you who it was.
Whoa! Like somebody didn't realize?
Yes.
That it was Fritzy or Kevin Harlan?
Yes.
All righty. Boy, that's a tease. That'll keep you in your car for next hour. 2 hours in the books. One more to go on this Thursday. Seton Pauly, Fritz and McLevin, and Kevin Harlan on the Dan Patrick Show.